Today, I have entitled my sermon, In the Waiting Room. How many of you enjoy being in the waiting room? How good are we at being patient? Mike likes being in the waiting room. I think you're a minority of one there, I'm afraid, Mike. But it's certainly something that I am not very good at, being in the waiting room. As I was preparing this message, I had a little bit of experience of being in the waiting room because there was a problem with my computer, and I was on the phone to the tech support helpline trying to get sorted. And every time I got a problem, they came back to me, they had to put me on hold to go and speak to someone else all the time. I was sitting there in the waiting room, waiting for them to come back to me, thinking, but I've got all this other stuff that I need to be getting on with as well. Waiting can be a frustrating thing to experience at the best of times. But there are also those times when waiting for something can be really exciting, and as we wait for something that we can't wait to happen. Maybe it's the excitement of going on a new and big and exciting holiday that we've got planned, or buying a new car and yet you've got to go and wait before you can go and collect it and get behind the wheel and enjoy your first road trip. Or maybe it's the waiting for a new child to be born, and then the child is born and you realise your life will never be the same again. But it's still exciting as you wait. Waiting can be difficult. But one thing that can make waiting all the better is having someone to wait with. If you're sat in a restaurant, it can be annoying and frustrating that your food still hasn't arrived yet. What are they doing? I am not only hungry, but I'm getting hangry, and that is no good place for any of us to be. But if we are waiting with good friends, if we're spending that time catching up and chatting away, whilst it might be annoying that the food hasn't yet turned up, the time passes all the more quickly because of the conversation, the love and the laughter that we share together as we wait. If you're waiting for some hospital results, it might be anxious and it might be frustrating. But when you're surrounded by friends who are caring, loving, supporting you through that anxious and uncertain time, what can be a difficult time of waiting can be transformed to a time of affirmation, of encouragement, as you don't just wait alone, but you have people gathering around you to show just how loved and valued you are as you wait. Today we are celebrating Pentecost together, and over the last few weeks we've been looking at how we can grow and pull together as Jesus' disciples as we follow him as a church. And we've been looking at a range of different ways as to how we can demonstrate how we pull together, and seeing this as an essential part of discipleship, of following Jesus means being together. Just like a rowing boat is an image we've come back to time and time again, it's important that as the church we pull together as one united, synchronized church family, that we might continue to grow and flourish as we follow Jesus together. And on Pentecost Sunday, we remember and celebrate the gift of God's Holy Spirit to his church. And today we're going to see how we can all pull together in the waiting room, in waiting together. And it is in that space that as we come and as we gather and wait together, that God turns up and God breaks through. But before we go any further, I'm going to pray and we're going to listen to God's word together from Acts chapter 1 and then from Acts chapter 2. But let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the truth that it contains of who you are and how we can live our lives as we follow you as our Lord and as our God. And Lord, as we come to look at your word together this morning, Lord, we come to wait on you, to hear what you want to say to us, your people, this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to read this morning from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, and then from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. So Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, whilst he was eating with them, that is Jesus, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set, but by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then jumping over to chapter 2, we hear this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were in staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language?" And bear with me. "Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Well, I don't know, but last time I checked, the pubs aren't open yet. So if the Holy Spirit's going to turn up this morning, it's the Holy Spirit, and there's been no wine flowing from my lips this morning anyway. But I wonder, if you had one wish today, what would it be? If you could have one thing that you've been waiting for satisfied and revealed, what is it, what dream would you long to become a reality? What would you love to see God do? What dreams has he given to you but that are yet to be fulfilled? Over the past 9 years as a church, we've had a saying that we want to be a church that dreams big, but that also starts small. We want to see God at work in us. And over the last 9 years, we've seen some of these things come to fruition. But they didn't all happen overnight. Over the last 9 years, we've had to wait on God. And as we've waited on him, they have come into being. And there are plenty of other things that we're still waiting for today. The process of waiting doesn't usually come naturally to us. We live in a world where if we want something, then we go out and get it. We work for it, we strive for it, and hopefully it will become a reality. Yet as we were reminded at our church meeting, for those of us who were there this week, God doesn't want us to just run off and do things in our own strength. But instead, he invites us to be still and to know that he is God. It is whilst we are still that we wait on God. Throughout the Bible, it's often in the waiting room where people's faith is grown and brought into being. It is the waiting room that is a place where we realize
that we are not the people who are in control, and we all we can do is wait and place our trust in God. Abraham received this amazing promise from God, and yet he had to wait for it to be revealed. Joseph had a dream, and yet he had to wait for it to be fulfilled. And the Israelites spent 40 years wandering around in the desert, waiting to enter into this land that they had been promised. And it was in the waiting that God was with them. And that's just a few examples. And I wonder how this might transform how we wait on God today. When we think about God, are we sitting there saying, but God, I'm still waiting. Why hasn't it happened yet? Or might we be saying, God, I'm going to be still and I'm just going to wait on you. Which one of those two kinds of waiting are you better at? I know I'm better at getting tantrumy and going, but God, I'm still waiting. I want it now. But God doesn't say that. He says, be still. Wait and know that I am God. In our reading today, we heard how Jesus placed his disciples into a waiting room. To set the context, Jesus has died. He's risen again. The disciples are thrilled and overjoyed that Jesus is with them once again. And they're all back together. But then Jesus turns around to his disciples and says, I know you're glad that I'm back with you, but I'm going again. And this time I'm not coming back, but I'm going to send another to come and be with you. And as he says this, he says to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the importance of sticking together as a church community. And Jesus says to his disciples, stick together, don't leave. Stay together, don't leave the city, don't disperse, but instead come together, pull together, and wait on me. And as you wait, I will come and I will send my Spirit upon you. As you wait for all that God is, or that you long for God to do in your life, as a church, as we wait for what God is doing amongst us here at Arbury Road, are we willing to wait for him to act? Or might we be tempted to say, but God, I'm still waiting. I'm going to go and take it into my own hands instead, rather than waiting and simply knowing that he is God. As we wait, how might we support and encourage one another as a community of disciples to not just run after stuff, but to draw closer to God, knowing all that we need to do is be still and know that he is God. His ways, his timings are better and greater than our greatest and best plans and dreams. So are we willing to wait, to be still, and to trust not our plans, our dreams, but his plans and his ways? The church were called to wait, but they didn't wait in isolation. In the frustration and the difficulty of the wait, Jesus encouraged them to not leave, but to instead pull together as they waited for what he would do. What might that look like for us as a church today? To wait together, to join together in community as we wait for what God is promising to do through us. We are living in the world of instant gratification. Jesus had promised his disciples this great gift of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, but why did they have to wait? Why couldn't it just happen instantaneously? You know, Jesus goes and then the Spirit comes and everyone's happy. There's no waiting. There's no uncertainty. There's a perfectly formed, logical plan. It makes perfect sense. Why the wait? Why might Jesus wanted his disciples to wait together? As Jesus puts his disciples into this waiting room, they have an opportunity to firstly demonstrate their obedience to Jesus.
And as we wait on Jesus, we too can demonstrate our obedience to him. As we wait, we are reminded that Jesus is the one who has all power and authority. He is the one who calls the shots, and not me and not you. As we wait, we remember that it's not about what I want. It's not about my plan, but it's about his will, his plans, his ways that I want to follow in my life. And so we wait obediently. We pull together and we practice obedience to Jesus as we wait for him to do what he has promised. In the waiting room, not only can we demonstrate an act of obedience to God, but we can also demonstrate our unity to him as well. If you try and spend a decent amount of time in a room with other people waiting together, you will quickly find that you've got nothing better to do than to get to know the people that you are waiting with. And I love this quote by Tim Keller, that true unity comes not by everyone looking alike, but by everyone looking to Christ. Jesus told his disciples to stay and to wait together, and then that they would receive. And together, as they waited and as they didn't just look to their own interests, but they looked and they waited on Jesus. I imagine this group of disciples sitting in a room, eating together, reminiscing together, sharing their own stories of their own encounters with Jesus and the difference that he had made in their lives, all gathered together, fixing their eyes on Jesus as they waited together in unity. In the waiting room, we also have the opportunity to demonstrate our faith and to put our trust in Jesus. When we see when we want to see something happen, it can be very easy for us to try and do it in our own strength and in our own way. But when Jesus tells us to wait, we have the opportunity to trust his plan and his timing and his ability rather than my own. It's about handing over control and placing our trust in Jesus' way as we wait. What Jesus says he will do, he will do. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 145 that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. When Jesus speaks, we can trust what he has promised he will do. But are we prepared and willing to wait for that promise to be fulfilled? In the waiting room, are we willing to trust he will be faithful? The waiting room is where our faith grows. In the waiting room, we need to put our trust in Jesus. We need to hear his words, to believe his promises, to know that he is faithful and what he has promised will always come to pass. This morning, may we be a church that is willing to pull together as we wait on Jesus. To know that he is good and faithful and his word will always be fulfilled. And may we put our trust in him. And as we wait on God together, as we enter into that waiting room, it is in the waiting room where the breakthrough of God is first seen. I love how Acts chapter 2 starts with this wonderful word, suddenly. Are you still with me? Can you say that word this morning? Suddenly. You've all gone to sleep. Suddenly. Come on. There we go. You're alive. There we go. And the wine must be flowing at last. There we go. Suddenly, a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where everyone was sitting. In an instant, the waiting room was transformed. The time of waiting was over, and wait for it, suddenly all that Jesus had promised was revealed. Jesus said to him, or called his disciples to wait, and suddenly, as they waited together, God broke through. By definition, suddenly is unexpected. It comes without warning. You can't plan for suddenly to happen. You just have to wait for it to come. God doesn't always move quickly, but if he wants to move, then there is nothing that can stop him. All it took was God to speak, and suddenly the world was brought into being. So just imagine what he can do as we wait for him to move today. He is more than able to transform lives suddenly. He is more than able to open a new opportunity suddenly. He can heal and restore relationships suddenly. He can provide suddenly. He can breathe new life into his church and into his people. You guessed it, suddenly. As we wait together in the waiting room, are we ready today? That today might be the day when suddenly Jesus turns up. Are we ready then, expectant about what he has promised and what he might do? Are we ready and willing to pull together as a community of disciples? Because not only are we waiting, but we are full of expectation and anticipation that today might be the day. Today might be the day when God, by his Spirit, comes and breaks through. Today might be the day when his word is fulfilled. Today might be the day when lives are transformed and forever changed and the church sent out and empowered. And we don't want to miss out. That's something worth waiting for. When God moves, we may not get a warning. When God moves, he doesn't worry about our schedule and our diary and what other things we might have on. He just waits. He just invites us to wait. And then suddenly, he breaks through. Today might be the day that Jesus wants to break through in your life, in our church's life. Are you ready for what God wants to do? Are you willing to gather together and wait for what he might do suddenly? As the church waited in the waiting room, not only did the Holy Spirit come suddenly, but everything changed as Jesus's promises to his disciples were fulfilled. The disciples had been left on their own, wondering what might happen next, but as the Spirit comes, this all changed and they would never be left alone again. Jesus promised in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 that he would be with his disciples until the very end of the age. And today on Pentecost Sunday, we remember that this promise has been fulfilled. Today we are not alone. We might be waiting and we might be gathering together with expectant hearts, but Jesus is here in our midst by the power of his Spirit. And by the power of his Spirit, he's not only taken residence up in this church building, but for each and every one of us who believes in Jesus and has accepted him as our Lord and God, he's with us in our hearts as well. So as we go away from this place, as we go into all that waits for us this week, still, Jesus is with us always to the very end of the age. Jesus also promised his disciples that they would make known the good news of Jesus to all people of all nations. And it didn't take long to start to see this promise being fulfilled. As the Holy Spirit broke through, the disciples went out into the streets where we're told God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven had come and gathered together. And as the Spirit came upon them, they shared their experience of Jesus, and everyone heard what the disciples shared in their own language. It was as the disciples waited together that Jesus's promise was fulfilled. But as the Spirit broke through, this was also the moment when the church was transformed and empowered. As the Spirit came upon the disciples, they found that they had a new freedom. They started off the morning gathered together in a room. But as the Spirit came upon the church, they found new freedom. From gathering in one place together, they went out into the world with a newfound confidence and purpose. And as they went out together, they were empowered to share the good news of Jesus. Throughout the book of Acts, there are wonderful stories of how the Holy Spirit comes and empowers the church. We hear stories of people being healed, captives being set free, lives being transformed. But it all starts with this passage here in Acts chapter 2, that suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon the church as they waited together. The Holy Spirit is essential to following Jesus. We can't do it on our own. I know this has been true for me. As I look back at my own life and my own abilities, I know that I, in my own strength, am pretty feeble, humble, and all that not impressive. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. But as the Holy Spirit has come upon me, he's changed everything. He's empowered me, he's led me, he's given me a new hope, a new identity. No longer am I just Matt, but I'm Matt, the child of God, the person that he's sent his spirit upon. And as he's done that, he's given me his power, his authority. And the same is true for all of us who follow Jesus here today. But it all starts with waiting. And then suddenly God breaks through. Waiting to prepare our hearts for the moment that he wants to come. And as we do so, we can know with confidence that what Jesus has promised will be fulfilled. So this Pentecost, may we be a church that not just gathers together, but that adopts that posture of waiting together. Not just saying, God, we're still waiting, but saying, God, I'm still, and I'm waiting for you. And as we wait, may we know that in just a moment, Jesus can break through and not only transform our lives, but also the lives of those around us, and indeed the whole world, as his spirit moves amongst his people. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, we gather together in your name. And we pray that simple historic prayer, come Holy Spirit. Lord, we wait on you. Where we are still waiting, Lord, would you still our hearts? Would you still our minds? And may we know that you are God as we wait. Lord, we pray this morning that suddenly you might move amongst us as we wait on you, that we might know your spirit coming upon our hearts, our lives, our church, and that as you move, we might see those promises fulfilled, that lives might be transformed as you reveal the wonder of your presence amongst us this day. And Lord, as we pull together as a church family, Lord, in our togetherness, we pray that we would be together in waiting on you. Holy Spirit, would you come and empower us, your church, again, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.